welcome to the next episode of the Radio Nasties podcast with, as usual, me, Vic, and my co-host, Richard.
I have a nail gun and a board with a nail in it.
Yeah, it was just as bad as last time, mate, that accent. So, I don't believe you're Irish in the slightest.
Oh, I am. You failed. Oh, I am. I think I do actually have a bit of Irish in me, funnily enough.
I'm sure you do, if you're around from around our town. I think you've got more Scottish in you, haven't you?
Yeah.
Whereas I've got, like, more Irish. And your accent offended me.
I mean, to be fair, your jock accent's not much better.
Very true. But, I mean, the accent itself isn't that nice to listen to. So, you know, there you go. If there's any
you're not wrong.
I'm sorry. I suppose it depends how thick the accent is, like
yeah, if it's proper like Glaswegian, you're just like,
I can't deal with it. I'm like, I can deal with this in short doses. It's like, I can't listen to you. Everything sounds aggressive.
Yeah.
Just like, it's kind of like the Spanish when they talk. It's like everything sounds like, they could be saying happy birthday to you, but it sounds like they're saying, fuck you, you cunt.
Oh, that they are.
They probably are with me, but like, I've seen films, Spanish films, and I'm like, you all sound so aggressive. Like, chill out. You have siestas. Is this why you're so angry? Like, because you have more time to sleep. It's just like, oh, we can be angrier because now I get to go for a nap halfway through my day. Oh, God.
Welcome to the Judging Accents podcast.
So today we have, you know, if you didn't listen to the last episode, we are covering 2015's Bloodsucking Bosses. Or if you're American, Bloodsucking Bastards.
Which is a better title, but...
But not for this movie.
Yeah, I think Bloodsucking Bosses fits as a title, but Bloodsucking Bastards.
It's probably the first time I've seen a title change that I've actually went, nah, makes sense. Actually,
But if I was in a shop, I'd be more likely to buy a film called Bloodsucking Bastards.
Very true. Yeah, of course. No, I'm not going to say that Bloodsucking Bosses is a better title, but it is for this movie.
It fits better, yeah.
Much better for this movie. I mean, there are several bastards in this movie, but
yeah,
they're more bosses, I guess. So this is like a kind of following from last episode. It's kind of like a horror comedy. This is another film that I would definitely say that the comedy is more forefront than the horror.
Yeah, it's comedy, then it's horror.
Yeah, sort of very much in the vein of, like, I wouldn't say Grabbers is that, but it's very much in the vein of, like, Shaun of the Dead or something like that, kind of where, like, it's like a kind of a normal situation, but with supernatural elements.
Yeah, what Shaun of the Dead did with zombies, this does with vampires.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I don't think many people know about this movie.
I'd never heard of it.
No, I think I stumbled onto it for some whatever reason. I think it's a very low budget kind of film. I don't think it got, even in America, I don't think it got very much.
Yeah, from,
you know, like cinema release.
Reading up about it, Scream Factory.
Factory. Yeah, they kind of gave it its push. I think.
Yeah, I think it was obviously straight to video on demand.
Yes, and I think I read somewhere that Scream Factory had it on like one of their video sites or something. I'm guessing it's like Arrow TV, but it's Scream Factory TV, I guess.
Because the Scream Factory logo even comes up on the UK DVD, and Scream Factory is not a thing over here.
Here,
it's the first time I've ever seen it on a UK printed disc.
Yeah, definitely for me as well. I've only watched this once before this rewatch, but I never even remembered that. I don't even know if I knew Scream Factory was a thing then, but who knows. But yeah, it's kind of like this kind of little office kind of film, you know, one of those kind of, I think it was described to me as Office Space meets, I don't know, a vampire movie. But it's essentially like an office, kind of like an office setting, the same kind of humor that comes from those kind of films, and then they just add in the vampires for more jokes. So if you're up for it, Richard, we're gonna get straight into it.
Let's go for it. The first thing I want to point out in the credits is, did you see the name of the writer of this film?
No.
The name of one of the writers is Dr. God.
Oh no, I didn't see this in the film, but I saw this when I looked the film up on Wikipedia afterwards, and I was like, Dr. God? Who is this man?
It turns out they're a comedy group.
Yes,
I found made a bit more sense. Yeah.
Is it the director's comedy group?
Yeah.
And he got these people to write it, which, yeah, it does make sense.
Because at first I thought, like, this guy thinks a fucking lot of himself, doesn't he? Calling him Dr. God.
Not even just calling him God either, but he's like, excuse me, it's Dr. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine him at the pearly gates? Like, you've got him and, like, Dr. Dre. And they're judging him. They're judging Dr. Dre. And he's like, you know, I don't really like the fact that you've lied about your credentials and claim to be a doctor when you're not. But, you know, you have done a lot of good things in your life. So, yeah, yeah. Go on in, Dr. Dre. Maybe while you're here, just get a doctorate, make it nice and legit, whatever. You got all of eternity. And Dr. God shows up, like, Dr. God? No, I can't.
No,
you are neither a doctor or a deity. Straight to hell with you, you fucking bastard.
Turns out he actually ends up running a very, very successful business in hell by being a
Maybe Dr. God is like the main adversary of Dr. Satan.
Oh my God, can you imagine? It'd be hilarious. Rob Zombie couldn't come up with that.
No. Be too good for him.
But yeah, so the credits roll and it's kind of like very boring credits. It's like, it's just kind of like, it's one of those credits, you know, where they've tried to make the credits into like a joke itself and it just didn't land with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, I don't really care. They do like, it's kind of like, it's all like office supplies, like sprayed with blood. And then there's like, I think there's a few of the characters that are kind of like pressed up against a fax machine. And it's just like all their faces that are like pressed against the fact. I was like, doesn't really.
Let's just get into the film. You know, you've tried with your credits, but.
So it opens up with, funny enough, I didn't remember this. One of the main characters from Cabin Fever and Super Troopers.
Yep.
I think his name's Tim in this. And it's kind of like a shot, you know, he's kind of like looking at something that we can't see. The camera's pointed on him. And he basically just, you know, kind of goes like, you know, well, this is the grossest shit that I've ever seen. And then it just instantly cuts to like 2 days.
No, I don't think that was the Cabin Fever. I think that was the mustache dude, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's from Cabin Fever.
Is he in Cabin Fever? I know the main dude's from Cabin Fever. Is the other dude from Cabin Fever?
No, the main dude's from Cabin in the Woods.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's where I was getting confused.
Right, yeah.
Too many Cabin, yeah, no. Right.
And that's what I did. Yeah, I literally had them as Cabin Fever guy and Cabin in the Woods guy at first. And I was like, why is there two Cabin people?
The thing is, though, when I first made my note, I kept referring to him as Cabin Fever dude. And I was like, no, it's not Cabin Fever. It's Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I've just confused myself. There's two Cabin people in this movie.
There is. This is the guy from Cabin Fever that gets blown to bits at the end.
The Aryan
guy. The most clever guy, like, in that film. The guy was like, no, I'm out. I'm taking my beer. I'm going. See you later. And then he gets shot at the end. That's the guy I'm on about. The guy from, yeah. So it cuts 2 days earlier, and Cabin Fever guy, Tim, we're not going to call him Cabin Fever guy from now on. Well, I can't promise that, because he is in my notes for a fair bit as Cabin Fever guy. But he's kind of like, it's kind of like this, I'm guessing it's like this telemarketing kind of office building, you know, they're trying to sell stock to people, you know, it's that kind of thing. And he's doing the whole thing where he's telemarketing, but he's not really paying attention. He's actually
playing a game, isn't he, on his PC?
Like a horrible game on his PC. Did you see the game? I was like, when's this game from? The 80s? I was like, what kind of fucking game? I mean, I'm guessing it's just the budget. Like, they couldn't get, we can't show that there. What games can we show? This terrible looking, like, zombie game, but.
It's always better than the game in Stay Alive.
It's not fucking art. Yeah, to be fair on it, like, this film, the game actually looks like a game.
True. It does look somewhat playable.
Yeah. But this is where the Cabin in the Woods guy comes in. It's the stoner character from Cabin in the Woods. I think he's called Fran Kranz, which is just an unfortunate...
Oh, that is a horrible name.
That's his, like... I'm pretty sure that's his, like, name. It's definitely... Jeez. I know his second name definitely is Kranz, but his first... I'm sure his first name is Fran. Fran Kranz. Well, oh,
I'd have my name legally changed immediately.
Yeah. I'm just going to double check. Yes, Fran Kranz. So... there you go. His name's Evan in this film. He kind of comes in and he's, you know, he's kind of like talking to the lads, and he's like, you know, you should all be doing your work and stuff. Like, you know, you can't be doing this kind of thing. And at first I thought he was supposed to be the boss, but it makes sense in a bit.
Yeah, he's the kind of talking acting to them like sales manager, isn't he?
Yeah. So
and he's trying his hardest to get the job permanently.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he's talking about them. He's, you know, he's like, why are you working on this game? He's supposed to be talking about that. What's it called, like? Fellashon or something. Basically, it's a dick enhancing drug that they're working on, and they've got to get this project done for this drug, like in the next couple of days or something, like, has to be done. So he's like, you know, they even make a joke. He's like, you know, how do we know this thing even works? Like, somebody told me that this drug turns your dick green. And there's a character in the background. He's called Andrew. He is actually, like, a fairly big character in the film. But he kind of, like, offhandedly, like, he's on the phone, like, selling stuff. And he kind of comes on the phone. He's like, no, it definitely works. And then, yeah, like, goes away. And you're like, oh, have you used it? And he's like, no, it might turn your dick green, but it definitely works. No, it definitely works. And you're like, you've used this, haven't you? But see, you know, Evan, you know, comes up to this other character who is, he's the stereotypical, like, goody two-shoes. He's even wearing, like, a jumper, you know, like, he's that guy. And he's kind of like, you know, Evan comes in and he's like, oh, can you give me that $20 from the, you know, the, I think he sets up the
office pools
for the office. Yeah. Like that's the word I was thinking of. And he's on about, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of strapped for cash because my cat's got a cleft palate and he keeps just lapping milk in his face. And I was like, that is fucking hilarious. I was like, your cat is just like, what? So he just tries to catch the milk. Does he just like lap it up? And he's like, oh, it's going all over my eyes. This is ridiculous. I'm a terrible cat. I mean, to be honest with you, if your cat's that bad, like I love animals, but I mean, if it's that bad, like maybe you should think about maybe putting them down. Because like, if it can't even drink healthily, you've got issues. It's just like, yeah, fucking milk. The milk's everywhere, but the cat. It's like, it's great because like later on, he goes on about the cat again, and he's like, "Oh, my cat's allergic to certain types of air." What are you fucking talking about? This cat needs to die. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, but it doesn't seem like it's equipped for life.
Out of its, like, misery, it's, poor thing.
It's allergic to air, like one of the most important things you'd we be need dead for life.
Within,
yeah,
minutes.
Like, I think you should. But, I mean, the cat's probably like, kill me. Like, just kill the cat. Like, poor cat. The other two employees, I think it's Andrew and Michael, I think, and they're the two, like, kind of stereotypical dickhead employees, and they're basically like playing this kind of basketball, but they're trying to get like paper balls into the their other colleague's hair. They literally are them two guys that don't do any work,
yeah, but somehow just like they make away with it.
And this Indian guy, he comes in, it turns out he's like the intern. He's kind of like talking, they're not really like paying attention to him, and he's like, oh, have you seen Evan? Like, I'm supposed to start here this morning. And they're like, yeah, he usually comes in at 9:30, and he's like, well, it's 10:45, sir. And they're like, you know, stop bothering us. Like, if he's not here, I think he says something like, oh, you'll know when he's here because he'll be like moaning at everyone. And he's like, but he's not here at the minute. So like, go away, you know, and do something else. And I think Michael turns around to me. He's like, look, you see that trash over there? Go take the trash out. And he's like, you know, go do that. Go make yourself useful. So this poor fucking intern, he goes and he takes the trash down. And he gets scared by it. He goes down to like the underground. It's like the underground parking thing where the bin is. He goes down there and he gets like, it seems like there's something like following him around. And it turns out it's just the security guard, Frank. Oh, who is Frank. This? I know, he's great. Frank is like, he's like the security guard that takes his job too seriously. Like, he thinks
he's very military, or isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of just like, you know, what are you doing down here, sir? And he's like, oh, I'm just taking the
because he treats like, you know, Evan like his commanding officer or something, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's like, isn't Evan called like Evan Sanders? And his running joke is he calls him Colonel Sanders, and you're like, ha, it's funny because it's KFC. I think even Tim like makes a joke at the end of the film where he's like, oh, I've just got it. He's like, it's because it's Colonel Sanders. But yeah, the security guard basically turns to the intern. He's like, you know, you should be careful down here. You know, you should follow protocol. And it's like, I've just started working here, mate. And I think it's Jerry the janitor, which is hilarious, pops out, you know, and he kind of like...
Well, that's a running joke in itself as well, that nobody knows his name.
Knows his name, yeah.
Yeah.
But his name is Jerry. And who weirdly looks strangely pale and off kilter. And you're like, oh, this will never come up. And it's great because they actually make a joke, like you said, they actually make a joke about this like near the end where they're like, how did you not know I was a vampire? He's like, look at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know what I mean? But, you know, the intern gets attacked by somebody and he's seemingly killed. And it's funny because the camera like pans over and Tim's in his car just like eating a sandwich, like dancing away to the music. Like, he doesn't hear any of this homicide going on in, you know, the background. So we got Dave, the guy, the goody two shoes character, and he's kind of like, this is the point where he's on about his cat being allergic to air, because he asks for the $20 from the other, I think he asked it from Andrew, and Andrew's kind of like, I don't think I even won in that office pool. And he's like, well, yeah, you know, that's not the point, though. I've still got to organize them. Like, I've still got to get my $20. And he's like, yeah, but I gambled and I lost, and it doesn't really... I kind of lost money, so I don't want to give you more money.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to fucking put on bets, get the money in fucking advance.
But we get introduced to another character, Amanda. She comes in, and we're instantly brought to the attention that she's got some sort of...
history with Evan, yeah.
Yeah, because she kind of walks away after, you know, she comes in, and she's kind of like, oh, I hope everybody has a really good day. And then she's like, yeah, to Evan, she's like,
I hope yours is a horrible piece of shit.
Yeah, I love that insult for some reason.
Yeah.
I love it when people put like vulgar words at the end of horrible piece of. It just sounds great. You horrible piece of cunt. It sounds great. It's just, you horrible piece of shit. It's lovely. It's not even that they're a piece of shit. They're a horrible piece of shit. It's like, you're not even like one of the good pieces of shit. You're
when you have like a good dump, and you're like, that was really satisfying. That was a good dump. And then you have the horrible dumps.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's you. That's you. That is. That's you.
Evan doesn't want to talk about it. I think it. Mike and Andrew basically go like, what the fuck? Like, that was awkward as shit. Like, what's going on here? And Evan's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. So Tim goes, oh, I do. I'll tell you the story. And it's like, he basically tells her that Amanda and Evan used to go out.
Yeah.
And it cuts to like this like really short scene.
There's loads of these little crappy flashbacks, ain't there?
Yeah, it's kind of like the flashback kind of things for, I mean, I don't want to say Family Guy pioneered it, but it's that kind of thing where it kind of like jots back to like a little scene for like 2 seconds.
Well, yeah, I think straight back like again. part of the whole joke is just like, did that really need to be a story? Like, could you not?
Yeah. But basically what happened was, you know, they were living together, and Amanda kind of turns to Evan and she's like, oh, I love you. And Evan kind of has this like typical guy moment where you're stumbling with like, shit, what do I love her? What am I going to say? Like, what am I supposed to say? And he just goes, no. And you just like, what? And then the characters are all like,
yeah, you could have literally said anything.
Like, you could have called her a bitch and it would have been more acceptable than no. He's like, how did you even come to no? What does it even mean as well? I love you. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just say like, yeah, I'm fond of you, but I'm not at that level yet. Not just no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny as well, because Michael makes a comment and he's like, oh, you know, like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to like be with Amanda or whatever. He's like, you know, she's cool. Like, she's kind of like hanging out with another guy, you know? You know, like if it was a girl, but she had like a really feminine penis. And Andrew's like, what are you fucking saying? He's like,
yeah.
No. I mean it, like, she's still a woman. It's just she's got a dick. And it's like, that's weird.
Well, it's the exact opposite, because then that's just a bloke friend. Yeah, like, yeah. You get what he's trying to say, but his delivery is just awful.
Yeah. Michael isn't smart. So then we see Andrew's asking out the, I think they call her Zaps or something. But she's like, she's a Mexican woman that works there. And he basically says that, like, he's like, oh, we should go out for margaritas. And she's like, well, that's fucking racist. And he's like, how is that racist? He's like, we just both like margaritas. She was like, no, it's racist that you think I'd even want to go out with you. I'm like, oh, that's horrible. That's a really horrible thing to say to me.
Yeah.
You repulse me so much that I find it racist that that you'd want to go out with me.
It's like, like, I get what she's saying, but yeah, how is that racist?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's not racist. It's just you don't like him. Like, I think you're a horrible piece of shit. But Evan kind of comes over to the conversation, and there's kind of like a thing between him and the Mexican girl, because she seems to really like Evan.
Yeah, she seems to be into Evan, doesn't she?
Yeah, and Evan,
because I think she resents Amanda a bit, doesn't she?
Well, yeah, because she goes to Evan. She's like, you know, oh, I'm really sorry about what happened with you and Amanda. I'd never treat you like that. And Evan's kind of like, how do you know about this? Like, oh, did you know, everyone knows about this. Oh, did a memo go out? And she's like, yeah, she did actually put a memo out about you breaking up. Like, she's got it there as well. She's like, here it is. Here's the memo.
Yeah.
Like, this bitch actually put out a memo. Like
this is a tad unprofessional.
Like, he's a horrible piece of shit. Like, that's all the memo was. Like, but now we get introduced to the boss character who is from Always Sunny, if you remember, Richard.
Is he?
Yeah, you're going to remember exactly when I tell you. He's one of the guys that Dennis pretends to be the other guy to them.
Oh.
They're like trying to get him to
right.
Yeah. He's one of those guys. I've seen him something else. He is a comedian. He was in another film I saw. It was God Bless
Maybe
America.
Maybe he's Dr. God.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Yeah, he basically talks to Evan and he's kind of like saying to him, you know, the dick drug project is very important to the business. Like, I need you to make sure, you know, that this goes ahead. You know, it's very important. Like, I'm going to need you in the future and everything. And Evan kind of fucks off and he goes over to his mates who are like still fucking around. He's like, oh, I think I'm getting that promotion.
Yeah, he's got the vibe that the job's secure now.
Yeah. Is this the first time that Tim goes like, bam, snap? And like Evan, all of his mates are like, why did you just do that? And he's like, oh, you know, it's my new catchphrase that I'm trying to get going. And I'm like, Jesus, like, I think, like, when he's at work, he doesn't work that much that he even comes up with new catchphrases. It's just like, oh, this is going to be good. Evan then goes and, you know, he kind of has like an awkward conversation with Wendy because he goes into her office, doesn't he? He's like, oh, you know, Ted wants a meeting in his office in 10 minutes. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah.
You know, he's trying to make like a little conversation with her and she's just not fucking interested.
Yeah, well, I think he's trying to like get back on her good side.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think I'm getting a promotion. And she's kind of like, well, that's good for you. And he's on about like growing up and becoming like, you know, like, oh, you know, more professional or everything. And he says something about he heard something on the radio about Gibbons and their maternal, like, you know, with their kids and stuff. And she's kind of like, what the fuck are you even talking about? And he's just like, I mean, obviously he's kind of like trying to get over to the fact that he probably does want to start something with her, but he still doesn't know how to say, I love you. So he's just like, oh,
yeah.
Gibbons are maternal. And I kind of like that idea. And it's like, what are you fucking doing, mate? Like, just at least tell her you like her. Like, I like you. Can we sort this out until I feel ready to say, I
yeah. Love you? He's just digging a bigger hole. You just come out and be honest with her.
So they have the meeting and it's this whole thing where it's kind of like he's building up who the new sales manager is.
I think,
doesn't Evan even rips off the acting part of his sales manager.
Yeah, he's that confident that he's got it. Because as the boss is like giving the talk, he's doing like the stereotypical like straightening his tie up and fixing his collar, thinking, oh, here's my big moment coming anytime now.
And it's not poor Evan, unfortunately. It's the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And Narcos.
And the Mandalorian.
Pedro Pascal or something?
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal. And he's the new sales manager. And coincidentally enough, it turns out that Max and Evan have history. Basically, I think someone, is it Tim that explains that they knew each other in college? And Max fucked Evan's girlfriend, so Evan had him kicked out of the school or something, or like showed up.
Yeah.
So he didn't have any, you know, he couldn't go at that school anymore. And Max makes this big like speech to the workers, and you know, he's kind of doing this. He's like, you know, he's kind of like making a comparison between seduction and getting sales. This is the first kind of inkling that, you know, I mean, not the fucking that you know that the film is a vampire movie, but this is the first like inkling that there's something going on.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, sales can be seductive and, you know, you can seduce people into, you know, buying your stock and stuff like that. And it's like, oh. And he's also even makes a comment where he's like, you know, you need to start sinking your teeth into sales. And I was like, ha. It's funny because he's a vampire. But he basically says, he kind of turns around and there's this quite cool moment where he kind of turns around and he's like, you know, him and Ted have agreed that, you know, if you don't meet your quota, we'll be forced to kill all of you. And you know, they all laugh and everything.
And it's
like,
ha,
it's funny. And it's like, oh, they really are going to kill everyone, aren't they? Evan goes to Ted and he's basically, you know, how come I didn't get the promotion? And Ted kind of just like blows him off. He's kind of just like, you know, sorry, but you know, this guy's going to be better for the role and all that shit. Max has a moment with Amanda very early on. And, you know, he's kind of like, it seems like, you know, that thing that like Dracula can do. It seems
he's
like
got
she's kind
very
of
very persuasive powers. He can just entice people into doing what he says.
Yeah, more so with the female.
Yeah, because she looks somewhat like hypnotized by him, doesn't she?
Yeah, because he kind of says, you know, oh, you know, what's your relationship? You know, I know about your relationship with Evan and everything like that. You know, it's okay. You know, like, I want to get to know you and everything. And, you know, like I said, it seems that he's basically seducing her, essentially. Evan even walks in and, you know, he's kind of like, oh, you know, with Max. And Max is like, you know, I know we've got history, but don't worry. Everything's, you know, under the bridge. We're all going to be good. You know, this is like a professional environment now. And with that, we cut to Michael, who's still playing the fucking game, but he's like, he's staying overnight. It's like the boss from Stay Alive.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because he's obviously playing with, like, minors because he shouts and he's like, you know, you just got your ass kicked by a grown-ass man with a big-ass dick. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's that kind of situation where, you know, something's going on in the office, like there's somebody there with him.
Again, very similar to Stay Alive.
Exactly, yeah. And, yeah, I think it's Jerry the janitor that appears.
It is,
and he's
yeah.
Like, oh, you know, thank God. Thank God it's, you know, it's you. I thought it was, you know, somebody else. And he kind of fucks off. And then the noises start again. Michael starts to get, like, pretty spooked at this point. Doesn't he, like, shout out? He's like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom for a while. So if anybody wanted to steal anything from this company, I'll be gone far too long to do anything about it. And I'm like,
yeah.
That's probably me in that situation. I don't even care.
Yeah, I don't care about this place enough to risk death.
But he goes into the toilet, into the cubicle, and the lights go off. And obviously, you know, he's attacked and dragged away. Yeah, I think he tries to get out underneath the cubicles and he just gets dragged away and it cuts. And it cuts to Evan in the morning. He kind of comes in and he's like, you know, I think he goes up to Frank, the security guard, and he's like, is Michael here? He's like, because his car's here. I've never seen him here this early. And Frank's like, nope, he's not here. And he's like, well, how do you know? And he's like, well, I locked the doors at 6 o'clock and no unfamiliars have penetrated my perimeter. And Evan kind of gives him this look where he's kind of like, okay, you're freaking me out. But and he looks and Frank's like watching funny cat videos.
Yeah.
And Evan's like, oh, you know, he kind of makes like a comment where he's like, oh, you definitely like really focused on your job, are you? And Frank kind of like gives him this serious look and he's like, I believe I know this cat, sir. And then sits down and watches the video and you're like, oh my God, like, is he hunting this cat? Like, what is going on? He just downs a Red Bull as well.
Yeah, that's like one of his character traits, isn't it?
Yeah. So Evan comes into work and he sees that Tim's there and Tim's basically like, you know, I haven't been up this early in years. Like Max rang me and told me to come in early. And he's like, you know, we need to do something about this. Like it would have been well better if you were my manager because, and then isn't it Evan that kind of like finishes his sentence? He's like, yeah, you know, you'd get away with everything and everything like that. And he's kind of like taking the piss, like saying like, you know, like, oh, you think you'd get away with all that stuff with me? And then Tim's just like, Yeah, all that stuff, you know, all that stuff. I'd get away with it if you were manager. And like Tim kind of like froze, Evan kind of froze his hands up because he's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, it's just like, you just want me to be manager because you're my mate. And Tim also informs him that his new desk is next to him. And it's like a serious downgrade because I think
he used to have his own office, didn't he? Now he's just fucking conjoined
and he's
desk.
Like, yeah, because Evan's like, oh, is it not the printer copy of his desk anymore? He's like, no, it is, but you know, you'll just have to share with them. It's like, this is awful.
Imagine going from a manager to sharing a desk with an inanimate object.
Yeah. It's like, just share it. So Evan goes to the toilet and finds the corpse of Michael with his throat, like, ripped open. Like, he's fucked. So obviously Evan's like, Jesus Christ, runs away. He runs into, like, Ted's office and, you know, Max and Ted are in there. And he's kind of like, there's a fucking body in the bathroom. And it's funny because Max is like, you know, calm down. You know, this is a very serious situation, you know. But, you know, he doesn't seem bothered about it at all. He's just like, you know, we'll sort it. It's okay. It's like, he's talking about finding a corpse. And it does, like, you know, the stereotypical thing in horror where they go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's Evan and it's Jerry, the janitor, and Ted Frank's there and Mac. And they do this thing where, like, Jerry walks in, who still looks unbelievably pale. And he's like, yeah, that's disgusting. I'll clean it up again. And obviously, you think he's on about the corpse, but then it pans around and the bathroom's, like, pre-clean. So the body's, you know, been taken since Evan's been there. Max basically accuses, you know, he kind of turns around. He's like, you're not doing this because you haven't, like, finished the, you know, the dick enhancement report
presentation.
Like, is this why you're doing it? And Evan's like, what the fuck? Like, I genuinely found a corpse in there. They walk out, nobody believes him apart from Frank, because Frank's like, I believe you. And he's like, look, I found a shoe with blood on it. And he's like, someone drew first blood. And it's like, oh no. So Evan goes to Amanda and he's basically, you know, like, Mike's fucking dead, like, can you help me? And she's like, seriously, she's like, do you really believe that, like, this has really happened? She was like, where did the corpse go? And he's like, well, I don't know, but it definitely happened. She was like what does Michael do to you, like, on a daily basis? She's like, he plays pranks on you. She's like, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that this was a corpse that was taken away and cleaned up, like, in the space of the time that it took you to tell people about it? Or are you going to believe that Michael is playing a prank on you? And I think even Evan is like,
yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Right here, to be honest with you. And she basically says, she's like, look, you need to stop fucking worrying about this stuff and crack down. She says, because Max is, like, cleaning house. And she's like, you need to get this report, like, tip top, or else you could be one of the ones that, you know,
gets the sack
cleaned out. So Dave, the you know, the nice goody two shoes guy, he gets this point, he gets taken into the office by Max. I think Max comes up to him, he's like, oh, you know, come into my office and we'll talk about some stuff. And Evan's talking to Andrew and Tim, you know, about not getting fired. They're still fucking around. And then Dave comes back, like, a couple of minutes later, and he's like really pale, and yeah, he's like, I want my $20. And Andrew kind of turns around. He's like, yeah, you know, I'll get it when I can get you. And he's like, no, you need to get me my $20. And he's like, you've got till the end of the day. And he looks at Tim as well. He's like, you as well. He's like, you need to give me my $20. And he walks away. I think, doesn't Tim say something like, he's like, I don't think I was even here for that office pool. But it's great because it turns into a really funny, like, running joke with him. Because,
yeah,
like, he keeps, like, reappearing. He's like, for this fucking $20. And, well, we'll get into that. But Evan needs the sales figures from Mike's computer to complete his project. He was like, obviously he was working with Michael on it. And he's like, you know, I can't get onto his fucking computer. So he goes and he butters up, zaps the Mexican girl. And he's like, you know, I can't get onto his computer. And she's like, oh, you know, you need them figures for the report as well. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, that's what I'm getting at. He's like, I don't know if you could probably go down to the basement and get me, like, you know, the
physical
figures,
records,
the actual,
yeah,
like, the physical records. And she's obviously like, she wants his dick. So she's like, yeah, she's like, I'll go down to the basement. Like, I'll go down now. She goes down to the basement and obviously she's fucking attacked. She's attacked and, well, you don't really see what happens to her. Evan has to end up bribing Tim and Andrew to complete the project.
Yeah, to stay late.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, well, what are you going to do for us? Like, you know, are you going to give us cash? Are you going to give us anything? Like, he's like, I tell you what, he's like, he says to Andrew, he's like, I'll give you an infinite supply of the dick drugs when it comes about. And Andrew's like instantly sold. He's like, yep, I'll do it. Yep, cool. That's fine. That's us sorted. And Tim turns around and he's like, oh, I can't tonight. I've got Kelly Clarkson tickets. And it's great because Evan turns around and he's like, oh, yeah, to be fair, you have been talking about that. So fair enough. And it even comes back later
on.
Yeah, well,
it does. Yeah,
like,
it's great.
Even better way. So Tim's in the break room and he kind of like blows up a fucking burrito because he's like, oh, I think Amanda's in there with him. And he's like, oh, this, why has this happened? He's like, this is a conventional oven, isn't it? And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's a fucking microwave, Tim. I actually really laughed at that because he was like, he looks so confused. And he's like, I don't know why this keeps happening. He's like, we've run out of burritos now. He's like, this is a conventional oven, isn't it? And Amanda kind of like doesn't even answer him. She's just like, I'm not even going to get into it. Like, it's a fucking microwave, Tim. Tim basically turns around to Amanda and he takes this as his chance to, you know, he's like, how long are you going to punish Evan, you know, for what he did? And she's like, he really hurt my feelings. Like, he really did do a number on me. I think this is the first time she actually does say, like, how much, obviously she gives a shit about him because she's like, I'm only acting like this because he really hurt my feelings. And Tim's kind of like, you know, it's fine. You know, it's, you know, even if Evan doesn't want you, like, everybody else loves you. And she's like, oh yeah, I know. It's like, I've heard everything, you know, dating me is like dating a dude and, you know, everything. And it's funny because Tim kind of turns around, he's like, I've never heard anybody talk about you that way. And it's like, it's hilarious because literally like a scene ago, Michael was talking about how she's like a dude. It's fucking great. She says, you know, she basically says that it was really hard for her to say the L word. And while she's saying this, you can see Tim and he kind of grins to himself. And she turns around, she's like, don't fucking make a lesbian joke. And he kind of goes instantly serious. And he's like, no. He's like, you know, that seems inappropriate. You know, I'd never do something like that. And she's like, you always do it. Like, you literally always make lesbian jokes. And then Tim turns around, and he's like, not in front of lesbians or people with lesbian haircuts. I was like, that's funny. Even Amanda's like, I mean, yeah, I've kind of got a lesbian haircut, I suppose. Like, she doesn't even seem that bothered about it. She's just like, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I guess. She doesn't notice that, like, Evan's been there for probably...
like, the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, the camera just, like, pans over and Evan's just stood there dumbstruck, like, I'm going to kill myself. And she, like, runs away. It's funny because, like, Tim notices him there first and he's kind of just like, oh... sorry, we definitely weren't talking about you. No, we were talking about you. And like, Evan's like, I know you were, Tim. When Amanda runs off, she gets approached by Zaps, who is now like, she looks like really seductive. Like, before she had like a hair up in like a ponytail and stuff, and she was still got a pretty lady, but now,
yeah, she's
kind of,
she's
like,
gone all out now, done herself up, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's like really seductive and she's plastered with makeup, and she kind of like, you know, says to, you know, she kind of like puts, she does that thing, you know, like where she stops Amanda going by putting her hand against the wall.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, asserting a dominance type thing.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I heard what you did to Evan, and it's like, you know, maybe what he needs is just like a real woman's touch. And then like walks off, and like even fucking Amanda's like, what the fuck happened to Zap? Like, now she's like a fucking man-eater. Evan and Tim are talking, and one of the best jokes in the film comes up now, because Tim's like about to walk away from Evan, and like somebody like flings a letter opener at him and it sticks in the wall like right next to him, and Tim like kind of turns around, looks, see who thrown it. It's fucking Dave the Goody Two Shoes.
He's like, tick tock, motherfucker.
Yeah, and he's tapping his watch, like, it's just like the coolest character ever. He's like, tick tock, motherfucker, and then walks away. Tim looks at Evan, and Evan's
like, can I borrow 20 bucks?
Yeah, he's like, yep, of course you can borrow 20 bucks, here you go, here you give. He gives him it like straight away. Like, Evan's like gobsmacked. He's like, you need to take these 20 bucks. I think he's gonna kill you if you don't have this 20 bucks. So it's kind of like the end of the day now, and all the workers are, you know, leaving for work. Did you notice that one of the workers that's walking away, she has a post-it note stapled to her forehead? Well, it's not stapled, it's just stuck there. Sorry, no. That made it sound worse than what. Yeah, she literally, like, she walks away, and she's kind of like, she looks like a stereotypical, like, nerd. She walks away, right, and she has a post-it note on her forehead, and she's just walking away with her head down. She's just like, well, this is my life. Who put that there?
I have no idea. I did not notice.
It's
that.
It's great. No. It's funny because she's sitting very near to Tim as well. And I can imagine Tim going, like, I'm just going to leave this here so I can see it for later. But yeah, they all go to leave. And there's this like fat redhead woman who's like this, you know, this stereotypical like woman that doesn't get any men. She seems really uncomfortable around men.
Yeah.
And she goes up to Evan and she's like, hey. And he's like, oh, hello. Hello. And she's like, yeah, I'm really sorry about what happened with you and Amanda. And then like squeezes his shoulder, like, I'm guessing too hard, because Evan's kind of like, ow. And then she just like goes, smiles at him, and then walks away. It's like, oh dear. You don't know your way around men, do you? Sorry. Andrew tries to leave as well, but Evan like reminds him of the dick drug project. And he's like, oh, fuck's sake. He's like, well, it was worth a try. So Evan and Andrew stay to work on the project, but weirdly enough, Evan needs more files. So he goes to Andrew. He's like, you know, can you go down to the basement and get the files for me? At this point, I'd be like, Evan, you're getting fucking everybody and his mum to go down and get your files. Can you not go down? Well, go down and get your own files.
Evan managed to persuade him. It's like, think of it this way. If you go down in the basement, that's 2 minutes. You don't have to do any actual work. He's like, yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah. Evan also notices the keys to the office at this point. So he decides to go and like rifle through Max's office because he's like, well, fuck it. He's like, it's not that bad. Like, it used to be my office anyway, before it was his office. While Andrew's downstairs in the basement, he runs into Zaps, who's obviously still acting seductive. And she kind of starts coming over to him, coming on to him. And he's like, oh, I thought you hoped that I'd die in a car fire. And she goes,
so what made you know, think why? That? You said, you hope I die in a car fire.
Yeah. Evan's trying to guess the password for Max's computer. And while he's doing that, he finds like files on all the employees. And they've either got like a cross through their face or a circle. And then there's one with, which is Evan's file. And there's nothing on there. And he's like, oh, you know, how is it that I'm the one person you haven't made a decision on yet? Which comes back at the end as well. So Zaps like pounces on fucking Andrew, you know, like a wild animal. And it's great because Andrew like does a callback to his joke from earlier because he's like, oh, there might be some slight discoloration issues down there. He's like, but you know, you could pretend you're banging the Hulk or Kermit the Frog.
Oh, that's rank.
Why Kermit the Frog? Like the Hulk, weird enough, but like I get it. It's a big, strong, like man, I guess. Why would you want to fantasize that you're fucking Kermit the Frog?
Wasn't there
my dick screen?
I don't remember if it was Family Guy, but there was some Seth MacFarlane animated comedy, and there was a joke, and it was like a fake game show, and it's like guess that animal penis.
Yeah, I think this is Family Guy. And it's in Kermit, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's like some fucking horrible thing and the guy's looking at it. It's like, oh, this is disgusting. And then I think he gets it right. And then the next one's like Kermit the Frog. But all you see is like this green dick. And then you just hear Kermit like, can we hurry this up? I've got other places to be.
Yeah. No, I definitely remember it. I remember it's definitely Family Guy, isn't it?
So how many jokes are they centered on Kermit the Frog's dick?
Yeah. Zaps, she starts to get like rough, like she bites his lip like really hard, and he's like, fucking hell. And he's like, calm down. And then she's still like pinning him down, so he kind of gets up and he's like, I'm not fucking having this, like this is like too rough for me. So they like begin to have a fight. Like he starts like, he's like, he says something, I can't remember what he says, but he's like, oh, you know, I know like defense issues and the stuff that they taught me in defense classes, it's sick as fuck. And she's kind of like, I don't care. So they start having like this fight and she's like throwing him around. Obviously it's fucking vampire super strength or whatever the fuck. But it unfortunately ends up where she puts her heel. She's got like heels on, like stilettos. And she puts the heel through his fucking ankle. It looks fucking grim as well. She sticks it in there and it's like his ankle kind of like bends. And you're like, oh, this reminds me too much of the Evil Dead ankle scene, thing.
Yeah.
And then she bites his neck. So, you know, poor Andrew is either dead or turned. Who knows? So Evan comes out of the office and Andrew like stumbles in. And this was one of the character moments where I really liked Andrew, because like Andrew seems like a real dick, you know, kind of like a guy that like, if he was in this type of situation, he'd be like, right, I'm getting myself out of here.
Yeah.
But he kind of, he stumbles in and the first thing he says to Evan, he's like, run. He's like, you need to go. Like, get the fuck out. I was like, oh, that's a nice little moment for Andrew. I was like, he's actually trying to help his mate out. He falls down, obviously, and Evan sees the mark on Andrew's neck. So he runs away and he hides from Zaps. And he, you know, he has to, you know, it's this whole like tense kind of, you know, scene where he's like getting through the office, like trying to keep underneath the cubicles and stuff so he doesn't get found out. You also see that Dave's stalking him as well. So he ends up hiding in the utility closet and he calls Amanda for whatever reason. He's just like, you know, she might be able to help. But Max answers and he's kind of like, oh, you know, how are you, Evan? He starts like taunting him and he's basically like, it's funny because Max is obviously like the seductive stereotypical vampire, but he's even lying like to taunt him because he's like, oh yeah, you know, we're having a great time, we've had a good dinner, you know, we've had a bottle of wine. And he kind of like raises his voice. He's like, oh, another bottle of wine, yes, I'd love it.
Yeah.
And Amanda kind of comes out and she's like, who the fuck are you talking to? And he's like, oh no, nothing. And she's like, is that my phone? Like, yeah, but I'm talking to Evan, like, do you want to speak to him? And she's like, no, not really. I'd be like, get off my fucking phone. Like, why are you answering my calls?
Hang up and fucking ring him if you need to talk to him that bad.
But he turns around to Evan. He kind of like goes, you know, I'll give Amanda your best. Actually, I'll give her mine. It's better. And I was like, ha, that's a pretty good joke, to be fair. That's a pretty good burn, to be fair. But it's funny because afterwards, he's like desperately trying to seduce Amanda. but she just doesn't want anything to do with it. I think she like, I think they're genuinely having like a work meeting, but he's used it as a way to get
as a way to get into it. Yeah, whereas she's just, like, she's just doing it as a professional,
like as a work thing.
Yeah,
but it cuts to the next morning. And Evan's like fell asleep in this utility closet, like kind of like how the
in hostel.
Yeah, yeah. What was his fucking name? Jesus Christ! What was on his t-shirt?
Speed 8.
That's it. Speed 8. I'm thinking about Speed 8.
What was his actual fucking name?
I can't remember. It's. I knew he was.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
He's some sort of like Latino name, isn't it? Fucking hell! Oh, I generally
Paxton.
That's it, Paxton. It's not Latino at all.
Not at all. You just assumed. Racist.
Yeah, because he is a Latino. Yeah, I was like, must have a Latino name. Terrible. We'll get away. This will get Juarez. Censored now, Richard. We should censor our own podcast.
Yeah, we've had to take off episode 1, 2, 3. Now the thing about it is all of them. They've all gone, mostly because when Vic's recording, he insists on being in blackface for some reason. I don't get it. I don't get it personally.
I just want to. It's just like, I don't know. Why wouldn't you?
It all depends what sort of shoe polish you use.
It's a fine pastime. God, imagine if anybody's listening to me now.
Oh, like, dear.
Right. Let's get some cameras on him. He's shown some warning signs. But yeah, Evan wakes up in the morning and like Ted, Max and Tim are all standing over him and they're kind of like, you know, I think Ted's like, you know, how are you going to explain this? Like, you're one of my best employees, but like, I really can't, you know,
yeah,
like,
there's no justifying this. You fell asleep in the closet.
And it's funny because Andrew turns up and he looks like he's dressed like Dave now.
Yeah.
And he's really pale and like all of his hair's like perfectly like, you know, combed back and he's like really straight. And he comes in and he's kind of like, oh, here's the stuff for the project. And Ted basically turns around and he's like, you know, if it wasn't for Andrew, this project would have been fucked.
So now he's running the presentation.
And Ted basically seems, you know, he's basically going to fire Evan. But Max sticks up for him. He's kind of, oh, you know, we should give him another chance. Like, you know, he can probably sort this out. Do you know what I mean? You're kind of like, oh, ulterior motive over here. So Evan, oh, this is my favorite moment of the film. This is genuinely my favorite moment of the film. Evan approaches Tim about it. And he's like, oh, you know, there's some weird fucking things going on here. And Tim's kind of like, you know, you should count yourself lucky. You know, you didn't get fired. And at least he hasn't turned you into a vampire like he has the rest of the office. And Evan turns around. He's like, wait a minute. What do you mean? Like, you know? And he's like, yeah, he's like, there's definitely some weird things been going on. Have I not told you? And we get like this montage of times that Tim's seen stuff happen.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great because he's like, he's eating the same sandwich in like every instance. And it turns out like when the intern got killed at the beginning and Tim was in his car, he did actually like see something. I think the shoe gets thrown across his bonnet and he's kind of just like looking at it weirdly, like, and then just continues eating his sandwich. And then he sees Zaps kill or bite Andrew. And he's kind of like, oh no, it's not that, is it? Which bit is it? Is it where? No, I think it's he sees Max turn. You know, is it Elaine? You know the ginger woman that comes.
Yeah,
he sees her like turn her because she's kind of like, I'm a virgin, and then like Max turns around and goes like, you all are, and it's like the stereotypical like, you know, vampire thing, bites her, and then it just pans and Tim's just awkwardly standing in the same room as them with a sandwich, just like, this is weird. Yeah. This is really strange. This is like, I don't know about this. It's fucking great. Tim's like the funniest guy in this film just because of how well he plays off like the character. He's just like, oh, no, I know there's vampires around. I thought there was something weird. Sorry, he also sees Zaps and Dave having sex, like, both as vampires. That's when he's standing, like in the corner, like, don't know about this. Like, do you know where I have sex? Like, weird monster sex somewhere else. Like, this, I'm trying to eat my sandwich, kind of. It's great as well, because this montage comes back, and it's even better. But Tim basically assumes that he's, you know, like, Max, it all started when Max came over. He's like, so Max is obviously the head vampire. He's like, so, you know, we need to get rid of Max. And it's funny because they're having this conversation and Amanda just starts like chipping in on it. And she's like, you know, I can't believe, you know, you let him drag you into this. Like, it's great as well because she turns to Tim and she's like, I can't believe you let him drag you into this. I thought you were smarter than that. And Evan and Tim, like, both, you know, like, turn around and go, really? Like, at the same time. Like, even Tim's, like, shocked that she thought he was smarter than this. And Amanda basically goes to Evan. She's like, you know, I didn't think you'd go along with this whole fucking weird fantasy that you're going on about. I didn't think you'd commit career suicide. And Evan turns around and he's like, I'm trying to prevent career homicide.
Yeah.
And it's Tim, because Tim kind of cuts in. He's like, oh, that was a good one. That was a good one, that was. And Evan basically turns around to Amanda. And this is the point where he's like, we can, you know, you can help us with this. Like, I love you. And it pans. And Tim's like, you know, like where it's kind of like your mate who you find, you know, you've finally seen him like get with the girl. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yes, he's gone with it. And then she just turns around to Evan and she just goes,
no.
No. Yeah. And Tim turns around and goes, oh, so that's what it sounded like. And I'm like, oh, I love you, Tim. They notice in the office as well that it's getting darker and colder. It's funny because Tim goes, yeah, it's definitely getting colder. Look. And it shows you he's got like erect nipples. And he's just like touching them. You're like, you're such a weirdo. But they also notice how like more streamlined the office has got because everyone is a vampire. Like everyone is doing their work. It's literally like, yeah, there's no talking or anything. Evan makes a comment. He's like, you know, what are we going to do? Like everybody's a vampire now. And Tim turns to me. He's like, oh, not everyone. And we cut to Frank, the security guard, who's sniffing like glue. Or a marker or something. He's just sitting there like, with this really content look on his face, sniffing glue. And you're like, oh, fair enough. It makes sense with his horrible fucking energy drink addiction. So I'm guessing he just follows the addiction. He's just like, this is great. Just anything to keep him awake, I guess. Oh, I love Frank. And Evan and Tim come over, basically. And, you know, Evan tries to start persuading Frank that there's vampires around. And Frank just, again, just turns around.
Already
and
he's already like, vampires. Affirmative,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, I love that bit. He's like, yeah, vamps. Affirmative, sir. And you're like, oh, he knows as well. And then Tim turns around. He's like, oh, did I not tell you? And then it shows you the montage again. Of all the time.
And Frank's sitting with him every time.
Yeah, I know. And it's great because there's a bit when, like, the bit when Tim's watching Zaps and Dave have sex, he drops, like, a bit of his sandwich. And in this montage, Frank hands him a tissue and they just, like, smile at each other. It's fucking great. And he's like, Tim goes, yeah, he's like, I forgot to tell you. And he's like, you know, me and Frank hang about, you know, quite a bit. And Frank turns around. He's like, how amazing was that Kelly Clarkson concert last night? And then, you know, you're like, fuck's sake. Evan basically turns around. You know, he says, like, they need to get Amanda on their side. And Tim basically says, you know, we need weapons as well. And Frank's like, oh, I can help with that. And we have like a little like elevator scene. Now where they're going down to the parking garage and they're talking about, you know, like what weapons you'd need and everything. And yeah. Frank kind of like rolls out, you know, like the typical stuff, you know, he's like, oh, you know, you can decapitate them, you know, sunlight, anything like that. You can do that. And they both turn around and he's like, hey, you think this is my first vamp hunt? You don't get this patch without getting some puncture monkeys. It's like, puncture monkeys? That's incredible.
That's like, that'd be like a slur. To vampires.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Fucking... yeah. And then they both kind of turn around. They turn around and look at him like shocked. And he's like,
I learned it from Wikipedia.
I got some off Wikipedia. So they head to the basement and, you know, Frank's, you know, basically telling them, you know, he's like, oh, you know, remember that vamps hate sunlight. And Evan turns around and he's like, does it? He's like, because it's daytime, like right now. They don't seem to be bothered at all about it. And Frank turns around like without fucking hesitation. He's like, that's because this facility has less windows to minimize distraction and to maximize climate control and security. And Evan just turns around. He's like, so wait a minute. You're telling me that sunlight does kill vampires, but we get so little of it in this fluorescent shithole that they're just fine. And Frank's like, yeah. That's
pretty much it, yeah.
And Evan's like, good God, this is depressing. And it's like, I think it's such a good way of like getting away with that plot, you know, because there's always that thing with that, even on Buffy, if you ever watched Buffy, there was times where they were definitely in front of the sunlight, like in front of a window or something. I was like, how is he not bursting into flames? And it's just like a funny way of getting around that. Cause like, it does make sense nowadays with office buildings. Cause they do try and do that. Like, it's like, we don't want windows. We want
so when they purposely buy like uncomfortable chairs.
Yeah, yeah. So you never like, yeah. But they go to Frank's car for this like arsenal of weapons, and they open the boot and there's no weapons there. And Frank kind of turns around. And he's like, "Sir, I swear to God that there was an arsenal of immense proportions in this van this morning. Someone has violated the sovereignty of my vehicular transport." And the Tim turns around. He's like, "Yeah, they took your stereo too." And Frank's just like, "God damn it." And again, it's another way of getting around, you know, the budget and, you know, like, oh, the weapons have been stolen. Yeah, yep. Sorry. It's kind of like, you know, the bit in Deadpool. Right? Have you seen Deadpool?
Yeah.
Where they were like, if you, I mean, spoilers, if you know anything about the production of Deadpool, like, they were genuinely supposed to have this massive fucking gunfight at the end of that film. But they couldn't afford it. So they literally just had him lose his guns. And this is what this film's obviously doing, you know, like, before.
So he just leaves them in the taxi, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because, like, the taxi driver's like a side character.
Yeah, the Indian guy. I can't remember his name because he comes back up in it in the second one as well. But while they're in the parking garage, Jerry appears. And I think it's Jerry that took the things out of the car, isn't it?
Yeah,
He shows up and he's like, "Yeah, I took them this morning." And they're kind of like, "Oh, fucking hell, you know, it's whoever." And they basically say like, "Oh, fucking hell, you're a vampire." And he's like, "I've been a vampire since day one." He's like, "How did none of you know?" He's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And they're like, "Oh, I suppose we don't really pay attention to you as much as like we should."
And he gets annoyed that none of them know his name. He's like, "What's my name?" Like, "Janitor?"
Janitor. And then they kind of go like, I think Tim goes like, "Why the fuck did they make you a vampire? It's like, you're just the janitor." And then Frank chips in. He's like, "No, actually, if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense." He's like, "Because they're killing a lot of people and there's a lot of bodies to clean up around here
and clean up the blood."
It's funny because Jerry chips in. He's like, "Yeah, you know, like, you know, they've got to have, you know, the people that, you know, have got the skills and everything." They're having this like general chit chat with this vampire. And he's like, "You know, it does make sense, you know, like for the scheme of things, like that they do me first because now I can clean up everything else." It's like, this is great. And he kind of like, he throws Frank away. Like, he picks him up and just throws him. And then Frank, like, comes up behind him and stakes him. He says some line. I can't remember what he says, but he does, like, a one-liner. And he stakes, obviously, Jerry. And then Jerry, like, fucking explodes.
And he's like, "Wikipedia did not mention that."
Yeah. They also notice that I think some of them looks in the bin for something. He's like, I can't remember why, but he looks in and they go, "Oh." And they're like, "Oh, you know, you'd think that they'd have picked up the dead bodies by now." And Frank comes in. He's like, "Oh, no, trash pickup is on Saturdays. So, you know, unless you make a special request, but that's like $60. And Evan's like, "This company fucking sucks." And I was like, "Ha." And I thought they were going to like draw attention to it, but I'm glad they didn't. Because I was like, that's quite a funny joke because they're vampires and it does actually suck now. So they head upstairs. They head upstairs to go and start hunting the vampires, I guess. And we get a little cameo here, Richard.
Yeah, from everybody's favourite actor, Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard is in this film for like 2 seconds. So they turn out to be, they go upstairs and they're like covered in blood because the Jerry exploded on them.
Yeah.
And they come out and it turns out that Matthew Lillard and these other people he's with are the dick drug people. They're obviously coming in for the meeting.
For the meeting, yeah.
And they kind of see them like covered in blood, and Matthew Lillard's like, hello, we're here for the meeting." And then Evan kind of does the most badass line of the film, and he's just
meetings
like,
canceled.
"Meetings cancelled." And they just go past them, and Matthew Lillard has this moment where he's like, you can see it, he's like, "Oh, thank fuck, like, they didn't kill us, like, come on, we've got to get out of here now." Like, I genuinely didn't mind it, because he did play it off pretty well.
Yeah, I think this is about the most I can tolerate from him.
I mean, I do like him in Scream and as Shaggy, but...
Shaggy, he's great. He was born to play Shaggy.
Yeah, like, somebody said something the other day, and I saw him compared, and they were like, Matthew Lillard to Shaggy is like what Ryan Reynolds is to Deadpool. And I was like, yep. Pretty much, he's kind of just become Shaggy. So they run off and we get, like, you know, the kind of iconic,
like,
weapon collecting
montage.
I always love these scenes, no matter how much they're done.
Yeah, they're always badass, aren't they?
Yeah, so that you know, they're doing this thing where they're kind of like collecting weapons, but they're all like office equipment.
Yeah.
So like they're getting pencils and
staplers
Yeah, and then Evan gets the fucking paper cut, and I was like, no, actually, that would be a genuinely good weapon.
Yeah.
It turns out to be bad.
Because Frank's even putting like Rambo style war paint on.
Yeah, he gets like, is it like marker pen or something? He just ink. Yeah. He just puts it on his face, and Tim ties his hair up in like a you know, kind of like a samurai style, but with a paper clipper, and it's like it's just funny. And they basically have this bit before they get ready where they like Frank pours them a drink, and Frank makes a toast, and he's like, "Today we become men." And Evan go, "All vampires," and Tim goes, "All dead." Oh yeah, and they drink this fucking this alcohol that you think it is, and they're like, "Jesus Christ, Frank! Like, what the fuck is this?" And he's like, "It's bull piss." And you're like, "What are you doing with bull piss? Fucking hell!" Like some of the stuff he comes out with, like glue, fucking energy drinks, bull piss. He just drinks anything. We get another elevator scene where you know, I think Frank pops another energy drink. He does that thing, you know, when he
torpedoes it, doesn't he?
That's it, torpedoes it. And you know, Evan's kind of like, how many of them do you have a day? And Frank turns around and goes, "As many as it takes." It's like, for what? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? And it's funny because Tim goes, he's yeah. Tim turns around, he's like, "Fucking hell, mate." He's like, you know, anybody that takes a bite out of you is going to be up for a week. So they sneak into the offices, and all the vampires kind of like notice them like pretty much straight away. And, you know, they get approached by like the whole office. And Ted, Amanda, Max, and Andrew are having a meeting at this point. And Evan comes in, you know, and does the whole thing. You know, he's like, "Max is a fucking vampire. Like, you know, how have you not noticed this?" And, you know, he's turned the whole office. And Ted does like a Tim and turns around. And he's like, "Oh, no.
Yeah, I know they're vampires." Yeah.
And it turns out that Ted and Max, so it turns out that the kind of like, well, I mean, master plan is revealed. It turns out that Ted and Max made a deal. Basically, look, that if Ted let Max become the sales rep, he would turn them all into vampires and it would increase productivity in the office. We also get a little bit of backstory with Max as well, because he says that when Evan had him kicked out of the school, no other schools would take him apart from like this weird school in Romania. And you're like, oh, ha. And that's where obviously he was turned into a vampire. Evan basically reveals to Ted, you know, he's like, "You were going to be killed by Max. Like, I found it in the files." And he was like, "You were one of the ones that he was going to rub out." And Ted's like, No. He said he was going to turn me last, you know, make it kind of special, you know, with candles and stuff. And Tim kind of cuts in. He's like, "Well, yeah, that makes sense. Does it? Is that like, oh, no, I'm going to turn you last. We'll make it romantic." It's like, oh, okay. I don't know about this. Can you just bite me? I don't need the candles. And then Max, like, just fucking upright snaps Ted's neck. Tim kind of turns around. He's like, "Oh, that does work then, like the films." I mean, I think it probably, if you snap someone's neck,
it's going to work for most things.
But Evan basically says, he's like, you know, "Back off. I'm just taking Amanda." And, you know, he says something like, "We're walking out undead." And Max's like, "Yeah, no, go on, out you go. Very, you know, off you go." And as they're walking out, like all the office people kind of approach them again. And Tim spots Dave. And Tim's like, "Hey, babe. Good luck getting that $20 now." And even Max is like, "Ooh, shouldn't have done that, mate. No, like that's a little bit too far." So they all fucking like that riles Dave up. So he attacks, and all the office people like attack Tim and Evan and Amanda. Through this whole like battle, like Max and Andrew are standing like in the background, and Andrew keeps like asking Max stuff. You know, he's kind of like, "Oh, you know, do you want me to like, do you want me to jump in there?" And Max is like, "Oh, no, I need you to learn how to delegate."
Yeah,
and he kind of just like makes like comments to do with the fight, but like in an office kind of way. Do you know what I mean? Like Amanda ends up fighting Zaps. Tim fights Dave. Yeah, he tries to stake him with a pencil, but it just breaks. One of the vamps ends up exploding. I think Amanda kills it, and Amanda's like, "You know, does this happen every time?" And Max joins. You know, he's like, "Not if you kill them first, people." He's like, "Learn how to take the initiative if you don't want me to micromanage." And it's like, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
he's micromanaging vampires. Amanda kills this one vampire, and Andrew goes like, he's like, "Oh, damn it, Amanda. He's like, I've just started boning her. And like, Amanda turns around. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, she's genuinely concerned. She's like, oh, shit. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Frank ends up staking Elaine. He's fighting Elaine because he keeps hitting her with like a fucking fire extinguisher or something, doesn't he? And Tim tries to like repel Dave by making his pencils into a cross.
Yeah, which doesn't
work. And Dave's
work.
Kind of like, nah, Dave mocks him. He's like, are you really trying to do that with a pair of pencils? Amanda and Evan kind of, you know, have a little bit added to their character because they start fighting together, which obviously, you know, shows you that they're finally, you know,
getting
becoming
back together. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, I love this because Dave does this like stereotypical, like old school vampire kind of thing. You know, he's like, you know, kind of like the Batman thing. Like, I am the knight. Yeah. And he's like, you know, I'm immortal. Like, you can't defeat me and everything. And then just like out of nowhere, this filing cabinet comes at, like, and smushes him into the fucking wall.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was fucking Andrew that did it. And Tim kind of has this moment. He's like, I knew you were a good vampire. And Andrew's like, no, I'm not a good vampire. I just always hated Dave. It's like, oh, these things continue beyond the grave.
Yeah.
So Evan and Amanda, they start taunting Max because they're like, you know, all your mates are dead now. Like, what are you going to fucking do? And he's like, oh, really? He's like, nope. He's like, I'm just going to make a call downstairs. And he's like, did you really think I was going to attempt to take over like this if I didn't involve the legal team? So he calls up the fucking lawyers. He like controls Amanda into his office. He does that whole seduction thing.
Yeah.
And he makes probably one of my favorite jokes of the film. He turns around to like Evan. He goes, oh, Evan. He's like, do you remember when I did this to your girlfriend in college, but without using supernatural powers? And I was like, oh, you
dickhead.
Yeah. It's funny because he proper pisses himself as well, don't he, Max? Like, as he shuts the door, because you're like, oh, it's like that was a burn and a half. Tim and Andrew are like doing their little juggle thing that they've been doing through like the whole film. Yeah. And they're going through
their options of what they can do.
Yeah, like Andrew's like, well, you know, I've kind of got to turn you. And Tim's like, I don't really want you to, because I don't want to die. And I don't really want to be a vampire. And he's like, you know, there are perks. Frank, unfortunately, ends up sacrificing himself. He says, right, he's like, you go get fucking Max and get Amanda back to Evan. And, you know, Evan's like, you can't hold off all these by yourself. And he's like, no, he's like, I'll manage. But he's pretty much instantly, like, overwhelmed.
Yeah,
by the,
but he even does, like, the stereotypical, like, oh, it's been an honor fighting with you, sir.
Yeah. Like Colonel Sanders, he's like, it's been an honor working for you, Colonel. And Evan goes in to help Amanda. He basically, he's trying to taunt like Max now. And he kind of like pokes at his management style and everything. And Max gets really annoyed because he's like, no, my management style is effective. And he says basically he's kind of turned the company into being, you know, the company's like, it's based on fear now. And he's like, Evan's perfect for this role. He's like, because he's the coward. So he essentially says, you know, like, I'm going to, you know, leave you. I'm going to keep you here. Like, you're not going to die. You're not going to become a vampire, but you're going to become, you know, kind of like essentially the face of the company. And he's like, do you know why? He's like, because you're a fucking coward. And he's like, I want to like make you suffer. He's like, I'm going to turn Amanda. I'm going to make her my bride. She's going to be like high up in the company. And we're just going to essentially like, it's basically like Max is doing all of this takeover and everything just to get back.
Just as revenge.
To get back at what he's done. But it ends up where Amanda and Evan essentially band together again. They fight off Max and end up staking him with his name plaque and he explodes.
And Mandy even like resigns before she does it. She's like, I quit.
Yeah, yeah. And then we cut, and it's the scene from the beginning where it's Tim.
Where it's like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and you think it's about, you know, well, firstly, he is on about, he sees like the office and it's like all the windows are covered in blood. And he opens the door. Amanda and Evan are in there and they're like making out like with covered in blood. And he's like, yep, I stand corrected. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. And, you know, Amanda and Evan, he's like, oh, is this all of his blood? And like Amanda's kind of like, oh no, some of it's mine and some of it's Evan. And you're like, that's
how you get AIDS, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Tim announces that Frank's dead. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, he went down in service to the company. I was like, that's a we get one more elevator scene and they're all kind of like bloodied, and Tim is like, they're all listening to like the elevator music, and Tim's kind of like bobbing with it, you know, he's kind of like typical Tim. And then Evan like gets the fucking letter opener and destroys
it. Yeah.
Yeah, they leave the building just as the maid's heading upstairs, and it's like, oh yeah, leave your mess behind, and they walk off. And there's kind of like, you know, one final joke with these three, and basically it turns out that the whole time Tim's had his like earpiece in from his telemarketing.
Yeah, he's been on the like, phone with his mum.
His mum, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, mum, are you still there?" And he's like, "Oh, we had some stuff happen at work." And then, you know, it's as if she said, "He's like, oh, you heard all of that, did you?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, vampires, yeah, taking over the business." Like, just walking down the street, and just before the film ends, you know, we see the maid comes upstairs, and the office is in like obviously fucking carnage, and she just looks at it, and she's like, "Bastardos!" And Andrew pops out, because I generally like forgot about Andrew, to be honest with you. Like, I was kind of like, I didn't even like think about Andrew.
Yeah.
He pops out and bites her, and he's just like, "Welcome to the team. You're in my office in 10 minutes. And then just walks away, and then the movie ends. So like, Andrew's the new face of the company now. Like, yeah. He went from the guy who has a green dick to the face of the company.
A true success story of the American dream.
Yeah. And that is Bloodsucking Bosses.
Or Bastards, whatever you want to go by.
Or Bastards, whatever you want to call it. So, do you want to do your ratings, Richard?
Yeah, sure. I think I liked it more than I was expecting to.
Yeah.
Because yep. You sort of presented to me like, oh, I remember this wasn't that great.
Yeah, I said to you, I remember it only because I don't remember it.
Yeah. So I was like, this is either going to be terrible or this is going to be the new Deathgasm, because that's pretty much what you said about that. But no, it was quite decent. It was fun. It's, I mean, to me personally, it never got like laugh out loud funny, but there's a good few chuckles.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's a very, you know, it's kind of like minor your comedy, Richard, in a sense. You know what I mean? It's that kind of like quips and banter everything. Yeah. It's all that. And it's like, you're kind of like getting more giggles out of the fact that they're taking the piss out of each other. It's not as if they're making like fucking major league jokes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is funny enough, like, in what it is. It's like, well, I think so anyway. I think the comedy hits like just enough. Like, I don't think there's any really points in the film where the comedy like completely falls flat. Like, it's not like fucking major league comedy, and it's not really bad comedy. It's just good comedy. You can put it on, like, it's the kind of comedy where you could put it on at any point and you'd just be like, yeah, I can get a laugh out of this. Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean? It's very, kind of very comforty popcorn type comedy.
Like silly humor.
It's all brainless, but not like in a bad way. It's just a good...
No, because I mean, some of the jokes are actually written really well. Like, they do land like really well. It's just they're not like amazing jokes. It's just they are funny for what they are with the characters.
I like the characters. Most of them are a lot of fun. I think Frank is great.
Yeah.
I'd love to see movies just about Frank and Tim being mates going to see Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd like to see a mini film just on their experience at Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, film wise, I'll give it a 3.5. I think that's very fair. Some of like the designs of the vampires are fairly decent.
Yeah, it's kind of like standard vampires, but they're done really well.
Yeah.
Like, they look really good, but it's not like a new vampire design or anything.
No,
like that.
It's similar stereotypical to the Dusk Till Dawn style vampire look.
Yeah, they're kind of like, they turn a little bit, like they can look normal kind of, and then they kind
and then
of
their
turn,
faces
kind
go
of like
a
Buffy
bit more
as well.
Yeah. But it looks quite decent. The like all the blood and guts and stuff look fairly good.
It's all practical effects, which is really good. Yeah. Like, all the blood's like, there's a lot of blood in this, but and only it's kind of like they saved all the blood for like the end, and there's a fair bit of it. Like,
especially when all the vampires start fucking exploding.
Yeah, and there's, you know, I forgot to mention during the episode, but there's a kill with Evan, and he kind of like turns round accidentally and takes this vampire's head off. It's really well done. Like, it's shot really well, which kind of covers the fact that it's probably a bad effect. But the way it's shot, it looks fucking good. I was like, Jesus. Yeah. I was like, that was pretty good. Like, and then they have the whole, you know, Tarantino thing where, like, it's spraying blood everywhere. Like, I thought it was really... And especially the one where, you know, it explodes and it covers the office windows.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
looked really cool. Like, I just, yeah. I just was a cool looking kind of thing. It's yeah, like I said, it's not like major fuck, like the comedy, I guess. It's not like major effects, but it's really decent.
This film, I'll give it about 3.5, and then probably about the same for the fun factor.
Yeah,
like maybe generous and give it a 4, but yeah. Yeah, it's decent. It's good. I had a lot more fun with it than I was expecting to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for mine, 3.5 for me. I will go further than you and say that I fucking loved this the second time through.
Not fair enough.
I think I started the film and I was like, yeah, I kind of remember this. And I was like, it's going to be all right. I was like, it's not going to be. And then I don't know, something just clicked for me. I think probably Tim. Tim's fucking
yeah, Tim amazing is great. In this film. Yeah.
But I think I probably didn't. Maybe I expected a little bit too much from it last time.
Maybe.
Like it's got fairly good reviews. Like it's not anything special, but it's like it's got fairly good reviews. And I remember it being like, I remember I was like bored as fuck. So like I don't know what was up with me because this time around.
Sometimes you're just not in the mood, are you? Sometimes you get you're sick on a film and you're just like I'm not feeling it.
But I love this kind of humor anyway. Like this is like genuinely my type of humor. You know, it's like banter and quips and shit like that. And it's, you know, kind of that, like we said, you know, that stupid kind of humor where it's kind of like flashbacks and flash forwards and stuff like that to like things they've done. And it's the only thing I'll say about it is though, and probably why I would nearly go as far as say it's a 4 maybe, but a 3.5 just because it's very predictable. It's you know everything
that's going to happen. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't take anything away from it though, I don't think. It's that kind of film where it's like this is by the numbers, but it's fun enough and well done enough that you kind of like I don't care. It's just like as long as the characters carry it. The plot's like pretty much bare bones, but
yeah.
The characters and the situations like carry it. Yeah, 3.5, I'd nearly go as far as 4, but it's not fresh enough to be anything like special.
It's definitely not groundbreaking. It's not something you're going to be shouting from the rooftops about.
It's just something like if someone was to ask me about vampire movies, this is probably one I'd recommend. I'd be like, yeah go for this because I mean, it's a pretty cool vampire movie. Do you know what I mean? And it's not like heavy on the vampires. It's kind of like, you know, they're vampires. They're just vampires.
Yeah.
There's nothing new about them. They're just vampires. So if you like vampire movies, like this is definitely one to go for. And if you like films like Shaun of the Dead, or anything like that, this is very in that vein. Nowhere near as good as Shaun of the Dead. That was groundbreaking. That was like, you know, that was the first kind of film in that kind of sense. Do you know what I mean? Fun factor, I am going to go for a 4 because I had like, I really loved this, like the second time around. Like I said, it's pretty, I would still say this film's fairly forgettable. It's good for as long as you're watching it. But I'm not, you know, it's like I said, I'd recommend it, but it's not going to be one that I'd be like fucking like top of my list, you know.
It's
the kind of film that I would definitely go back to.
I'd definitely watch it again. Yeah,
but I really enjoyed it this time around. I thought the humor was really, really well done. The characters were great this time around. Like you said, I don't think there's a bad one between them. They're all funny. Even, you know, to Zaps, the Mexican girl, you know, who doesn't really get a lot of time, like it's still quite funny, like her arc, from being like the little, you know, the kind
the
of
shy, timid girl to the confident,
seductive vampire. Do you know what I mean? And it's like these kind of vampires are, you know, pretty spot on for what I like in my vampires. Like, there's, you know, they're still fucking horrible monsters, but they keep the kind of seduction and eroticism from that kind of monster. Do you know what I mean? Like one of the main things about vampires is that they, you know, there's something kind of seductive about them.
They're very sexual, aren't they? But this is more, but it's more to the side.
Yeah. It's like Pedro Pascal does a really good job as Max, because he's exactly what I would imagine as a vampire.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, he's the pretty boy. He's, you know, he's very like, he's kind of like an alpha male kind of presence. Yeah, I think it was really well done, mate. I really had a lot of fun this time around, and like halfway through the film I was like, how did I think this was boring? Like, it's,
I suppose, to what you said about Deathgasm.
Exactly. So I was like, I don't know, maybe I need to revisit a lot of films that I found boring. Maybe I'll love them. Yeah, I really recommend it. It's a decent by the numbers flick, I would say.
Yeah,
like horror comedy
sort of thing you just stick on Netflix when you got nothing else better to do.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's Bloodsucking Bosses / Bastards. So, next week, it will be Richard's pick.
It will, so obviously, yes.
It won't be revealed until...
Well, no, I'll reveal it now soon. Well, you're going to see the film before anyway, so might as well just lay it on the line.
Worried about this.
So there's a very loose theme for my next few picks. It was sort of done accidentally.
See if it's fucking Italy. I'm finished. I'm done now. If the running theme is Italy, I'm running. I'm done. I've had enough.
Oh, yeah. So the loose theme is that all these films that I'm going to pick over the next few weeks are all done by foreign directors.
It's not like you, is it?
And surprisingly enough, the first one is a 90s horror that I actually do like, probably just because it's not an American film.
This is where I'll hate this thing.
By Lucio Fulci.
It's
not by Fulci. It's by a director we have mentioned a few times but haven't actually covered any of his films yet.
Okay.
And next week we are going to do Takashi Miike's Audition from 1999.
Oh, that's a pleasant surprise. Never mind. I do like Takashi Miike. So.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Audition yet, so there we go.
There we go. That'll be fun.
Which a lot of people in the horror community moan at me for.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that's one of the ones, like, you know, like if you say, like, you know, you haven't seen Back to the Future, which I haven't. I haven't seen any of the Back to the Futures. But when you say that, like, people go, you haven't seen Back
You're
to the
scum.
Future.
You're scum.
Do you know? Yeah, exactly. That, like, if there's anybody that's interested in horror and I mention I haven't seen Audition, they're like, how? How haven't you? Yeah, Charlotte's just mimed at me that I haven't seen Schindler's List, and apparently it's a really bad thing. And it's like, I keep saying to her...
Well, that's definitely came really up on this a few times.
Don't really want to watch a film about the Holocaust. It might be good, but I need to be in the mood to watch something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I really feel in the mood for watching some Germans kill Jews. This is going to be great.
Sounds right.
Get Schindler's List on. Fucking hell. But yeah, no, a lot of people moan at me about The Audition. They're like, oh, have you not... How's that? It's one of them films that I should have seen, apparently.
Well, next week that'll be rectified.
Yes. So, we shall see you on the next episode of the Radio Nasties podcast. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
An arsenal of immense proportions in this van this morning. Someone has violated the sovereignty of my vehicular transport.